3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it is Exfabula Radio time again during Lake Effect Weekend. We do this every weekend about this time, bringing you stories from past Exfabula Story Slams and talking about what's coming up. And we're going to do both today. And Leah Delaney is here, co-founder of Milwaukee Exfabula, and she is excited and frazzled at the same time because season 10 is almost here.
What do you mean? It is here. I think this is official. I always feel like the radio show preceding, the week preceding the first event, we are officially jumping into season 10.
This is it now.
This is it. We are in it. You've heard us blabbing about it all summer. But folks, it's time to get your jetpacks started and get thee to thy story slams with your stories so you can throw your name in the hat and hopefully get chosen to get up on stage as well. We are starting out season 10 with a bang on a Friday.
Yes.
That's new. We've never had Friday slams before. But Friday, September 14th at the lovely Garfield's 502. The theme that night is going to be generations.
And being not that it's on a Friday night, I mean, there's no excuse. It's not a school night or anything like that.
Mm-mm, not at all.
You can be there.
Yes, be there. Do not be square. We have a whole bunch of really fun stuff happening that we're going to be rolling out during the course of this season 10. One of those little things is going to be a non-competitive story slam. So we're going to roll out several non-competitive story slams where people can just show up and hang out, maybe be a little bit more lax with their stories, maybe not, still under the 5 minute guys, but you know, it's not going to go towards the All-Stars events.
For those who aren't exactly familiar with what you mean by non-competitive, the regular story slams, there is an audience vote for the best story of the night.
Yep. So we have 9 stories at those competitive slams, and at the end of the night, the audience gets to vote, and that person from each month gets a chance to get up on stage at Turner Hall Ballroom for our All-Stars Slam, which is at the end of the season. But again, we're going to be sprinkling in, you know, different events where people can be potentially a little bit more relaxed because we read your surveys, folks. We know what you want. You want Friday night slams and you want some non-competitive stuff. So we got you. We got you covered.
Non-competitive, no pressure.
Exactly.
All right.
So again, the theme this coming Friday, the 14th, is generations. And we did bring a story along with us. It's a longer story. It was told at a longer form showcase called The Spectacular. And the theme of that event was Break Free. So let's listen to T. Gillum's story regarding generations.
My grandma Shirley died in 2016. And you know how it goes with funerals. After everything is over with, you're kind of left to go through their stuff. Looking through my grandmother's room, I found her journal. Now, normally I'm not the type of person who would invade another person's privacy like that, but honestly, I decided to read it because I wanted to get to know her outside of her being my grandma. And reading the things she wrote, I realized our lives had a lot of parallels, and even that some of the things she had written, she could have been writing about me. She talked about her childhood in the 30s and 40s. She talked about watching her mother, Cleo, go through one abusive relationship after the other. Cleo was always angry and frustrated about that abuse, and she took that abuse out on my grandma Shirley. She berated her, she hit her, she yelled at her all the time. She told her she was ugly and worthless and stupid. And as my grandmother grew up, she told herself those same things. She was ugly, she was stupid, she was worthless, no one would ever love her. She said that word a lot, ugly. She talked about being ugly because she was darker than her two sisters. And my heart broke because here's my grandmother dealing with the same kind of colorism in the 30s, 40s, and 50s that I deal with to this very day. People treat you negatively based on your complexion. My heart broke for her. And my grandmother, Shirley, reacted to this negative treatment by lashing out violently at the people around her, especially my mother, Olivia. She had nothing kind to say at all about my mother in her journal. She was ugly, she was stupid, she was worthless. No one would ever love her, she was never going to amount to anything. And I thought, I remember this. I remember as a child seeing my grandmother yell and break things when she was upset at my mother. And I guess I shouldn't have been terribly surprised at the cavalier way she talked about violence in her journal, violence toward my mother. She joked about kicking my mother's ass about something. And she loved to tell me the story about when she was a young woman and she was dating this guy and he beat her up a bunch of times. So she hid in the bushes and she stabbed him. He didn't die, but he never hit her again. And I never stabbed anybody, but I came close once. But it was clear in her journal that she had a lot of anger and frustration, and she saved all of that wrath for my mother. And my mother, as compassionate, as sweet as she was, she never reacted. She never stood up for herself. She always said, that's just the way she is, and she accepted it. And because my mother never stood up for herself, I felt like I had to. I had to. I was her daughter. And sorry, they're both dead now. I would do whatever it took. If that meant being violent, then I'm gonna be violent. I'll never forget the first time I saw my mother take a punch. She was in one abusive relationship after the other, just like my grandmother Shirley had been. And one night in particular, her and her boyfriend were on a corner arguing under a street lamp, and I'm standing next to her. I held her hand tightly as they yelled back and forth, and all of a sudden, the guy cocks his fist back and punches my mother, knocks her out cold with one punch. She fell into my arms. I caught her. Her blood is dripping down my shirt. It was that moment when I decided, I'll do whatever it takes. If that means being violent, I'll do it. And for the next 10 years, that's exactly what I did. Whenever she got into an argument with him, I would force my way between them. I would hit him, I'd push him, I'd cuss him out, I would threaten him, anything to protect her. But I'm gonna tell you, being a teenager, it gets really, really tiring having to be the muscle. I'm a girl, I don't wanna be the brawn, I don't wanna be the protector. So now I'm in high school, I'm 15, and I met my son's father. I didn't like him at first, I didn't like him. He was a couple years older because he had flunked a few times, and he seemed weird and aggressive. We hung out a few times, and I found myself being drawn to his aggressive nature because he seemed like the kind of guy who would do anything to protect the people he cared about. And I thought, finally, somebody else can be the tough. I don't have to be tough all the time. He made me feel like I would always be safe with him, and I sought refuge in that. And as teenagers go, you know, we thought we liked each other, we fell in love. And soon afterward, I was pregnant. Now, finding out you're pregnant at 16 can be scary, but he was so excited. He told me we were gonna be a family. He was so excited to be a family man. He was gonna have a son, and he was thrilled to the gills. Okay, he was gonna be a family man. I believed him. We were in love. You know how teenage love goes. It has its ups and downs, but I really thought we were in love. So when he choked me at about 4 or 5 months pregnant, and then he cried and apologized afterward, I believed him when he told me he would never do anything like that again. Because we were in love, right? We were gonna be a family. Later that year, my son was born. And 2 years later, when we both graduated from high school, I got a scholarship, to The Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. And I thought, well, there's no question. He's gonna be moving to Columbus to go to school or do something, but he was gonna be there with me because we were gonna be a family. Because he told me he loved me and I believed him. We moved to Columbus and he was gonna be a family man. He jumped right in. He told me that he would watch the baby while I went to school and worked. And he seemed okay with that for a while, but you know how you're in a new city, you're a young guy, you don't have any friends your age, you're dealing with a toddler all day long, a two-year-old. That got old pretty quickly. He soured on that family man thing pretty quickly after that. And he began drinking heavily to cope. He was drinking a fifth of vodka by himself every couple days. He was angry, he was frustrated, and pretty soon he started taking it out on me. And initially, it was just insults that escalated to petty arguments, that escalated to screaming matches. And pretty soon, he decided he didn't like my smart-ass mouth, so he decided the punching starts. But he decided not to hit me in my face. He punched me in my torso and my legs. He put me in submission holds, choke holds. And he said he never hit my face because he didn't want me to have any bruises that anybody else could see. And I put up with it. I put up with it for a whole year, partly because I was overwhelmed. I'm going to school full-time. I'm working full-time. I've got a two-year-old. And partly because I had told myself that I was worthless. I was worth less. I was ugly, I was dark-skinned, I was fat, and nobody else would love me. I knew I didn't deserve it, but it's hard to see yourself doing better when you've been down so long. But the time came, I had enough. One night I came home, and I heard him screaming about three houses down, and I thought, oh my God, he in there drunk, I can't deal with this tonight. He started on me as soon as I came in the door, yelling because it's late at night and I had just got home. In an attempt to diffuse the argument, I went into the kitchen and got on the phone with my girlfriend to talk about what to cook for dinner. He sat in the living room trying to pick at me throughout my phone conversation, and when that didn't work to rile me up, he yelled, "Fat ass," loud enough for my friend on the phone to hear. That was it. That was it. I told her, "Girl, let me call you back." I got up. I walked across the kitchen to the cupboard. I reached in the cupboard and grabbed a coffee mug. I went to where he sat in the living room, and I smashed that damn coffee mug across his face. He fell over, his glasses broke, the mug broke. I ran back to the kitchen thinking this is getting ready to turn into a royal rumble. But instead, he sat up, bleeding all over the place, and he looked at me, stunned. Back in the kitchen, I had a decision to make. Do I stab him? Do I grab a knife, or do I grab the phone? I grabbed the phone, I called 911. And I said, "You better come get him. You better come get him, because I'm gonna cut him into a million pieces if you don't." The cops came, they made him leave, and before they left, they admonished me not to have to go through this again. Don't have us come back out here and break up a fight between y'all. But when he left, I knew that there was no way in hell he was ever coming back there again. I didn't have a grand revelation in that moment, but my baby woke up in the commotion, and seeing the fear on my son's face coming into the living room, his father's face is bloody, I'm crying, there's cops. That look on his face told me everything I needed to know. This was never, ever going to happen again. And it didn't. I couldn't let my son grow up thinking he had to be violent to protect me. I couldn't let him see me fighting people. I couldn't let him be hyper-aggressive like his father. And I look at my son today. He's a self-described pacifist. He's 23 years old. Never in any trouble, scholarships to college, actively tries to avoid violence as much as a guy that's 23 can. And I feel like if I didn't do anything else right, I did that right. I raised him right. No violence. But it took an act of violence to get us there. It took an act of violence to change his life for the better. It was my ultimate act of protection. Because truth is, I am the fire inside my Grandma Shirley. But I'm also my mother's compassion and heart. Thank you.
And that was T. Gillum telling us her very heavy felt story.
It fit the theme that night of breaking free, as in breaking free of this generations of violence. And it also fit the theme for today, generations. Very moving story, my goodness.
You know, I know her. And I congratulate anyone who is a survivor who wants to break the cycle. And it just goes to show, you know, you see people walking down the street and you're friends with people or you know people in certain ways, but you just don't know the full story.
Yeah.
And it's such a fascinating way to understand your past generations. But so hats off to you, my friend.
Part of what you do is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed. Our season 10 kickoff is going to be next week, Friday, September 14th at Garfield's 502. Again, the theme is generations. So again, per usual, I always say everything story-related and otherwise can be found at exfabula.org.
And if you want to hear today's story once again, you will find it at WUWM.com. We are here every weekend, and we'll do this again next week, and it'll be after the first show.
Sounds like a plan.
All right.